welcome to the Hope Vineyard Podcast. For more information, go to www.hopevineyardchurch.us.
Well, my grandmother was always a very kind and giving person. And she and my parents were very close. And before she passed away, she stayed with them for several years. She didn't always have her mind, but that didn't stop her from being fun to be around at times. One thing that became very clear about my grandmother is that she loved presents. And it was always safe to give her a present. I mean, she would happily anticipate them. And my mother tried to give her different gifts and stuff throughout the year because she really liked presents. And one of the last times that we spent with her around Christmas time, we were up in Aurora and my kids were still small and they were opening up presents. And the way we do it is we take turns and we watch, you know, each kid open up a present individually. And so we were watching the children open up presents. And after a while, you'd hear my turn. And that would be my grandmother. So my mom would give her out a present. She'd open it up and be excited about what was inside. And then we'd continue with the process of, you know, the other kids opening up presents. And if it got to be a little while, then you'd hear my turn. And my grandmother would open up another present. And thankfully, my mother knew this about her. And so she had all these extra gifts that my grandmother could just open and be happy. And it's still a very fun memory to think of her during that time and her joy that time of the year at Christmas. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we began our Christmas message series, Emmanuel, God with Us. First, we talked about the hope that has become available because of the relationship with God that has been offered to us through Jesus. Then last week, Jim shared how Jesus' birth demonstrated God's unfailing love for us. This morning, I'm going to speak to you about the joy that is announced during the Christmas story. We will look for joy in Christmas, and we'll look at the Christmas story, and then we'll discover once again that joy has given the joy that God has given us all. Like my grandma, let's anticipate gladly the surprise that God has for us today. This morning, we reopen the gift to see Emmanuel, God with us. And that means that this joy is available to all who accept the precious gift of Jesus, who was born on Christmas Day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence here with us. We invite you to minister to our hearts and teach us more about your love, the gift of your Son, and the beautiful joy that we can now experience in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The song, which references our scripture for today, speaks of great joy, and we sing it throughout the Christmas season. But what do we mean by joy? If we look in the regular dictionary, it says like a feeling of delight or great pleasure, joyfulness, jubilation, triumph, exultation, rejoicing, happiness, gladness, glee. But is that really the joy that God wants us to have all the time? Do we always feel happy? Are we somehow failing because we're not happy all the time because joy has come to the world? Another biblical encyclopedia talks about joy being a little bit different. He says, joy is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. It is something or someone that provides a source of happiness. And it appears 88 times in the Old Testament in 22 books and 57 times in the New Testament in 18 books. Joy is often compared to as the opposite of sorrow or mourning. Well, it can be discouraging if you think about the world and we take a look at the shape the world is in right now. Is it really filled with joy? Did joy come and is all around the world right now? We recently have, in this country at least, have faced, you know, multiple hurricanes, and there's wildfires going on in California. There's been a plethora of sexual assault scandals. You know, we hear, like in the news, it seems like every day there's new allegations. National and global politics are a mess. And then there's the concerns that hit closer to home. There's children in our community who are sick. How many of you are heavily burdened because you love people who are sick or who have struggling emotionally or in relationships or financially? There's medical problems that can feel overwhelming. And we feel this, and it's hard when we're hearing about joy, and yet our circumstances are shouting elsewise. Sometimes we're looking at for joy, and we just can't find it. And then there's our own personal struggles, which seem to outweigh everything else at times. To be honest, it's a very real thought that I often have. It's like, how can I worry about the joy for the world when I can't even get my own life together? Anybody else ever feel that way? But joy is for the world. Psalm 30, verse 5, promises that weeping will last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I believe that Jesus wants to answer our questions about joy, because joy really is for us, because it was promised in the Bible. So let's look at our scripture today. Luke 2, 8 to 12 says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." It's interesting. We often take it for granted that the whole world was filled with joy that night. But let's take a closer look. The joy was announced to the shepherds, but was what the shepherds experienced that night the joy of the whole world? We see at first that the shepherds were actually terrified, not joyful. We learn of their excitement in seeing the angels and visiting the baby, but is this the joy that was proclaimed? How had the lives of the shepherds changed? They went home and told everyone, but what else in their lives actually changed? Herod was still king. In fact, Herod, the king at the time, would within the next 2 years continue to terrorize his subjects. People were terrified with him because he was a horrible king. And then because he had heard that the child had been born, he put out an order that would kill all of the babies in the area who were under 2 years old. And that's terrible. That's not joyful. And the world, I'm not sure the world rejoiced immediately. At best, some people heard the stories that the shepherds had told and thought, well, that's neat. They didn't see the angels, though. What do they know about this joy? And there wasn't an overwhelming sense that anything had changed. Maybe Mary experienced the proclaimed joy that night. When Mary first was visited by the angel Gabriel, who had explained to her how she would become pregnant with child, and she... you know, she listened to him. She was terrified at first as well. He had announced to her in Luke 1:28, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What we normally translate there as greetings is actually a command to be joyful. And it doesn't really translate that well into English, but Mary would have heard at first, upon speaking to the angel, a command that she should be joyful. So Mary is expected to be joyful about the events that would transpire. Maybe she did have some moments of happiness through it all, but can you imagine maybe some of the other emotions that she might have felt? She may have felt excitement and wonder at the angel's announcement, and she would carry the Christ child. But maybe there was some fear that she experienced too. What would happen when she actually became pregnant? What would Joseph think? It would seem that there are times when she could had great moments of faith, but plenty of circumstances in her life could have led her to feel doubts as well. Where was the joy on the hurried trip to Bethlehem as she rode, while 9 months pregnant, a donkey? How would that feel? Not so good? Where was the joy when, because there was no room in the inn, she had to deliver her son in a manger? Did joy come into the world through Mary that night? If you or I would have been around, would we have known the joy to the world? Probably not. My friends know me well enough to know that when I plan on something and it doesn't really work out and some of the plans get changed, that I'm usually anything but joyful. And probably nobody around me is that joyful either. And I wonder if Mary and Joseph didn't rant a little. I can just picture this, you know, Joseph going up to Mary and saying, "Hey, but Mary, there's a little room in the barn," and her going, "Don't even talk to me right now." One author writes, "We talk about joy at Christmas only because we know what they did not fully know. They knew a miracle had happened. They understood, they, the shepherds, Joseph, Mary, were witnesses to something powerful. They did not know what, though. Behold, unto us a Savior is born. Hope, relief, confusion, and an increase in faith may have come as a result. Momentary joy." They, the shepherds and others, probably talked about that night less and less, as people do. Mary and Joseph, their task was to raise the Son of God. They probably found that a little bit stressful, not necessarily joyful. It's fun to remember the birth of Jesus, to think of him all tiny and swaddled in in little cloths and in a manger. But unless we remember the rest of the story, we miss the joy to the world. Most of the people of the world on the night Jesus were born were still waiting. They didn't have the hope of purpose or mission. They didn't yet realize the deep love of God, who loved them enough to send his only son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that they would have life through him. How are we like that today? You know, we see a lot of banter about keeping Christ in Christmas and making sure that we say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. But if we look at Christmas and we still see Jesus lying in the manger, instead of opening up the gift of salvation and living the life fully that he's given us, then we've missed the gift that wants to come into our hearts. The angel had told the shepherds, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord." These and other things Mary stored in her heart. Something that is interesting to note is that much of Luke's gospel was gathered by firsthand accounts. I mean, he interviewed a lot of witnesses and then wrote the whole gospel story. And it's really meant, the purpose of that gospel is to give the history of Jesus. And so he took some really good interviews, and we're assuming that much of his gospel came from Mary's eyewitness account. And we don't say Mary and Joseph because it's likely that Joseph had died before Jesus entered his ministry. But Mary was there the whole time. So it's likely, at least in part, her story about the shepherd's visit. It's likely her story about the events that happened when she and Joseph had lost Jesus sometime when they went to Jerusalem and they couldn't find him, and it turns out he was preaching in the temple. It could have been her account about how she and Jesus' brothers actually thought Jesus had lost his mind at one point. And it's very well, in part, her account of Jesus' devastating death on the cross. The author from earlier goes on to say, "Can you even begin to imagine the horror Mary felt watching her son die in the most heinous way imaginable? Her son, innocent, naked, bleeding, hated by so many. Her son who was the Savior promised. She watched him die. But then imagine the joy. The impossible had happened. Her son was alive and he was present. Her son is her Savior. Then she celebrates his birth and the joy it brings. You have to know the entire story before Jesus' birth brings joy. The true spiritual soul-changing joy is understanding the whole story of Jesus. His birth is the birth of hope. His resurrection is the joy." I believe that Mary finally understood that day the greetings of the angel when he first spoke to her and the story told to her by the shepherds. What a much anticipated and beautiful surprise. If we can enter into Mary's perspective, then we can experience that wonderful surprise too. Through the resurrection, the baby born in the manger defeated sin and death and saved us all from our sins. The gift of joy that was announced on the evening of the Nativity had been revealed. This is the same joy that was prophesied in Isaiah. In Isaiah 35:2, it says, "Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness." We have an opportunity to enter into this surprising joy today by accepting the gift that Jesus has given us. During his ministry, Jesus taught the way of love. He taught about forgiveness. He taught about the kingdom of God, which is God's perfect will being available to seek and ask for in prayer. He taught about how through him, relationship with his Father, God, was possible. He explained how he was sending his Holy Spirit to be God with us, within us, so that we could continue his ministry on earth. The world that would barely take notice upon his birth was permanently changed upon his resurrection as we tell the story and one by one people open the gift. And now all of those who understand this and follow him, dying to our old selves and living new with his resurrection life in us, have been saved to be world changers too. Jesus told his disciples this would be their joy. In John 15:11, he said, "I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy may be complete." In John 16:24, he said, "Until now, you've never asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy would be made full." Jesus prayed to his Father before going to the cross. In John 17:13, it says, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may know the full measure of my joy within them." The writer of Hebrews said that Jesus endured the cross because of this joy. God is with us now. His Holy Spirit is poured out on us. Death has been swallowed up in victory, and we are a people ransomed into life. The abundant life that we get to live now is one of partnership with Jesus in sharing the good of the kingdom of God and the good news of Christmas joy. Of the dictionary definitions that I read earlier, one of the words that stands out is triumph. If you combine that with the Bible Encyclopedia definition of that calm and confident state, you have this calm and confident state of triumph. It's with a sense of triumph that we can hold on to a supernatural joy, both in times of elation and happiness and in times of struggle. Because when we are struggling, we can hold on to the hope of victory. The Bible doesn't promise a life in which there is no suffering, but a life where we share in the sufferings with Jesus that we may also know his joy. This is a joy that says love wins. Death is defeated. Shame is cleansed. Peace with God is available. The comfort of the Holy Spirit has been given to me. The baby born, grew, lived a life of love, and shed his blood horrifically on the cross because of that love. And then, surprise, on the great day of joy, he rose again. Mary's Savior, the Savior of his friends, our Savior, Messiah and Lord, and the one who saved the world, makes wonderfully surprising, lasting joy possible once and for all. At the end of the story, the beginning of the story makes complete sense. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he met and prayed with his disciples and followers, and he did this for about 40 days, and then he blessed them and ascended into heaven and told them to wait because he was going to give them his Holy Spirit. The very end of the book of Luke records the joy experienced by his friends. Luke 24, 52 and 53 says, "Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God." If there is anyone here this morning who has never understood the gift of salvation through Jesus before now, I'd like to offer this opportunity for you to receive him. Jesus was born a baby in order to die on the cross. It was necessary for him to die on the cross so that though he was sinless, our sins could be placed on him. He died the death as a result of our sins, and he did this for us so that the world would not have to die permanently, so that we would not have to die permanently, but so that we could be forgiven and live forever with him. In our lives now, we experience the triumph over death. And we have the Holy Spirit in us, helping us to live lives of love. This is the gift of life that God is offering you today. Will you discover this surprising joy? We have a prayer on the screen. And what I'm going to ask is that everybody who's able, just read the prayer. And if this is, for some of you, this might be something you've done or you've done in some way at some time. But for some of you, if this is, you might be reading this and agreeing with this for the first time. If you don't agree with it, you don't have to read it. But if you really want this morning, it's a gift for you to open. So let's read together. Jesus, I acknowledge that I sin and cannot save myself from the death that is a result of that sin. I acknowledge both your birth at Christmas and your death on the cross, where you took on all of my sins so that I could be forgiven. I also acknowledge that you were raised to life, defeating death. I accept the gift of life you are offering me now. I ask that you to be the leader of my life as I follow you into new purpose. Amen. If this is the first time that you have prayed this prayer, please let us know at the close of service. And you can come up and or just let somebody know, and we'll just pray and bless you as you've received Jesus this morning. C.S. Lewis called joy the serious business of heaven. He said, "Joy marks the difference between existence and life. Its presence upgrades survival to being. Joy is our enjoyment of God and the good things that come from God." This morning, it is our joy to worship Emmanuel, our God with us. In response, I would encourage you to do three things. This morning, as we enter into singing, worship. Worship and engage fully in the salvation that began when the baby was born and was completed when he gave his life. And then he was raised to be a gift of abundant joy. Another thing I'd like you to consider this season is mentioning the cross. I know a lot of times we talk about Jesus and he's the baby in the cradle or in the manger, but it's the cross and the resurrection that with which we invite people into the life that Jesus has for them. It's okay to just even like gently walk along those conversations. And finally, I'd like to encourage you to look for reasons to rejoice. even if you struggle, even if the whole days aren't happy, God is good and he does give us happy moments. And so take those time and those moments, acknowledging them and knowing that he has more of them for you in your life, that he is good, that he's for you, and those moments of joy count. This was a difficult sermon for me to write. Sometimes I think that for me, I'm highly introverted and the season's hard. And so for me, joy is just like maybe being wrapped in a blanket and maybe talking to a close friend or family member or something. But it's only with the revelation of Emmanuel that I want to shout. It's then with God's revelation that I want to share this, that I long to see others set free to experience the love of God that I sometimes take for granted. I'm blessed to be able to share this with you all this morning because it surprised me the way that Jesus showed up to remind even me of his purposes and gift of life to the world. Let's hold on to this joy and spread it together to a world that desperately needs to know that God is with us. Amen.